Somebody shout hallelujah. Beloved, praise the Lord. You are welcome to the 11th episode of the season 6 of Biblical Furnaces. In episode 10, we talked about the key features of a true church of Jesus Christ. We looked at a church keenly in episode 10. When you look at a church, beloved, you should see preaching of the word that proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, not the gospel of self. We, every one of us, should see a church that uphold the correct tenets of the ordinances of the apostolic age. What are these tenets? They include the Holy Communion and baptism. We should also see the practice of church discipline that have zero tolerance for falsehood or lying or lies, as the Holy Spirit dealt with brother Ananias and his wife in Acts chapter 5. So, building upon the features or characteristics of a true church, we will look at one element that could upend the church as an organization. Such a feature is false humility. False humility. F-A-L-S-E. False humility. Both at the individual and church levels, false humility is a potent danger to the work that Jesus Christ completed on the cross of Calvary. Beloved, let us read our Bible passage for this episode. We have two. We start with James chapter 4, verse 5 to 6. James chapter 4, verse 5 to 6. And I read, "Do you think that the scripture said in vain, 'The spirit that dwelleth in us lusted to envy'?" No, the scripture did not say it in vain. Verses, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisted the proud." Resisted, not that he's resisting. "He resisted the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Our second text for the episode is taken from Romans 12:3, which incidentally is our key verse for this episode. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. That says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Beloved, this key verse that I've just read for the episode is very, very instructive. God has dealt with everyone and is dealing with everyone according to a measure of faith. We ought to think soberly. We must never engage in self-adulation or self-promotion, to think more highly of ourselves. So, beloved, when we read James 4, 5 to 6, together with Romans 12, 3, the passage suggests that we should be mindful of how we think about ourselves, because it matters to God. In fact, Proverbs 23:7 says, "As we think in our heart, so we are. As you think in your heart, so you are." In essence, the image of ourselves that we have and carry about matters to God and matters to people around us. Having a self-image of oneself is not wrong, not at all. I'm not saying we must not have the right self-image of ourselves. What is wrong is having and projecting the wrong image. In other words, it is vital, it is essential that we let God and others see the correct image of ourselves. More importantly, we should project a self-image pleasing unto God, because he sees us inside and outside. He knows us in and out. However, today, we often see people projecting the wrong image. The image of some people are tainted by pride or false humility. In fact, a church blessed by God often do the same. When you read about church history, we need to be careful. Because of God's blessing, then they have a blotted image of themselves. So let's look at humility quickly before we look at false humility. Before we highlight issues around false humility, let us talk about humility for a few minutes. The real meaning of humility is about having a life that is free of arrogance and pride. It is about a personal life having an accurate estimation of our self-worth. Beloved, having a correct estimate of our self-worth and living by it matters to God. We must not engage in self-condemnation also. Why? Because self-condemnation will cause us to underestimate and devalue the grace of God upon us. We must seek equilibrium. In equilibrium, we must seek balancing in how we view ourselves. In similar vein, we must not project an image that God resists when we begin to see ourselves in the light of what we are not. The Bible says God resists the proud. We have already read it in James 4:6. So now, what is false humility? What is false humility? When we ask what is false humility, our response is simple. It is pride in another cloth, or it is pride or arrogance in disguise. Beloved, both someone with low esteem, low self-esteem, or overbloated ego, and ego in this sense, in the context of lead like Jesus. Ego means edging God out instead of exalting God alone. As issues with pride. The common description of pride always follow overconfidence. Maybe God has blessed us, then we now overconfidence on what is happening around us or what we can do. We think those successes is by our own effort or our intelligence. Or arrogance and over-inflated sense of self-worth. Basically, pride will cause persons or churches to have a wrong estimation of their self-worth. And in so doing, they will project wrong impression to both God and man. And God, as we have read, will resist such a church or such a person. Where false humility exists, individuals or a group of them in a church, we believe that their opinion is more important than what God says. That's when you see people like that will give clear biblical verses their own personal interpretation instead of relying on the Holy Spirit interpreting verses the way God wanted them or wanted a passage to be interpreted. When preparing for this episode, I actually came across some write-up on false humility on the internet. There's a key point, beloved, that I came across. Number one, the anchor for pride is I as opposed to we. I as opposed to we. Or a veiled I, but the person is using we, but you know that he's actually referring to himself. We use we when we recognize that we are merely a tool being used by God to accomplish his will. One side of pride is PR, which stands for personal reputation. People that are arrogant, people that are proud, are very much concerned about their reputation. So we call it personal reputation, PR. Beloved, pride boosts and protects its PR. It's personal reputation. Anyone that is proud, we always seek to protect personal reputation. I'll give you a very good example, practical example in this episode. I had a personal encounter in which a guest minister was used by God in a particular program. But the host pastor, could not resist telling me when we were together alone that God also speaks through him. Whereas, he should actually be grateful to God for a successful and fantastic program. That was a shocking experience for me years ago. Because to me, while the ministration was going on, he was comparing himself to the guest minister. That is not right. That is false humility. Because even if the congregation did not see what he was doing, he could not resist talking to me. Meaning, his mind, his motive was not in the right place. So the other side of pride is DE, which stands for devalued estimation, false humility. So how does false humility unfold? How does it happen? So that we'll quickly close now. How does it happen? False humility occurs when we fail to submit to God. It occurs when we scorn the will of God, either individually or collectively. It occurs when we engage in insolence, when we engage in evil or wicked thoughts, or when we engage in thoughtless behavior, when we engage in perverse speeches or perverse thinking. That's when false humility occurs. Because your thought will invariably bat negative actions. And when not checked properly, it becomes habit that will influence our character. That shall not be apportioned in the mighty name of Jesus. So Proverbs 4:24 says, we should avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from all corrupt speech. That's what is written in that verse. But we do not, unfortunately. Even some leaders in churches routinely share unwarranted comments that we can classify as perverse speech, even online. Beloved, the literal meaning of pride in Greek is to envelop in smoke. Such leaders are enveloped in smoke indirectly. Metaphorically, it means conceit, lifted up, and high-mindedness. When you see someone that's high-minded, you say, no, I cannot be wrong. You need to run away from that person. He cannot be wrong in front of a man, but he's dead wrong in front of God. This explanation that we are making affects both individuals and the church. In other words, an individual can be covered in a smoke, can be enveloped in a smoke, but an organization can be enveloped in a smoke. And that smoke is a screen to hide the real image of that person. Image that such a fellow do not want the public to see. But the person forget that God sees all. He sees all. So when you are projecting humility to every one of us, but in your closet, you are full of pride. God sees it. So he sees that, this man is living in false humility. Beloved, the moral of the story is that pride skews the way we see ourselves to create a distance between God and us. We must be conscious not to create a distance between God and us. Proverbs 29:23 reminds us that pride ends in humiliation, disgrace, while humility brings honor. Beloved, let us close with practical wisdom for this episode. Beloved, at the individual and corporate levels, false humility is an affront to the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. I repeat, at the individual and corporate level, false humility is an affront to the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because it has a measure of high-mindedness and contempt for God and others. While outwardly one may appear to be a man that is humble, God sees such a fellow differently because he sees the heart of that person. God knows the motive of that person. God sees a lack of fear for him in such a fellow. So this is a very dangerous terrain. God sees gross disobedience in anyone that is projecting false humility. Beloved, God is against false humility, and in whatever form it is, God do not condone it. Because when a person or a church is infected by false humility, the end is dangerous. Such an individual church will be preoccupied with self-promotion as opposed to the proclamation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for very insightful experience. Please, God, weed out every seed of false humility from our lives and our parishes and our church and our fellowships in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus. Precious. Whenever I call your name, you make a way. Your name is a strong tower. Jesus, way maker. Your name is a way maker. Beloved, if you enjoy this episode, please like us on our various media platforms and also join us at the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Restoration House,
online or on site in Bloemfontein, South Africa. We welcome comments from you. Please use all our platforms on Facebook as well as YouTube. Till we come to you in the next episode of Biblical Phronesis, may the Lord keep you safe and blessed. May He shower you with divine wisdom daily to succeed in the mighty name of Jesus.